We are speaking today with Sam LaMalfa, docent at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and also caretaker of Samson from the early 70s until Samson's death. What was it like working with Samson at the Milwaukee County Zoo?
I actually worked with a number of primates, and of course he's the one everybody remembers. My first love were the gorillas, and in all of the 31 and a half years that I worked at the Milwaukee County Zoo, I worked with the total of 16 gorillas, and of course Samson is the one everybody remembers. He's a big figurehead. He's the one that the public responded to most. And in those years, I think people were attracted because the animal was alone, which I felt sorry for at the time, but he did respond to the public. I did have individual time with him where we'd play games. Both he would invent, I would invent. These charges, working with them, are very personable. It's like family. People used to kid me and say, hey, you got the same name he does. Look at that picture, look at that picture. How do you know Sam from Samson? Well, I'm the one that wears the glasses. At any rate, they're very personable. Each one is individual. Each one's personality and physical characteristics. He was probably the largest, the most outstanding of all of them. I had a very positive relationship with him and he with me. And we used to, like I say, invent some games and play a light, gentle tug of war, so to speak. Now, the animal is far more superior in strength than humans, but they kind of have a humorous side, and they toy along with you. They play with you, and this was sort of a gentle tug of war in which he obviously was the winner. But the cute part of the story is, after tugging war back and forth with a piece of burlap sack, he kept offering it back. He wanted to continue this game, much like when you play with a child and they want you to repeat.
What is so remarkable about Samson that made him such an extraordinary gorilla?
Well, in my opinion, first of all, Sambo and Samson were the first gorillas in our state of Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, at the zoo, came in as youngsters in 1950. And when Sambo died, of course, it left Samson alone, and by that time they were located out on Blue Mound Road. I think because Samson was in a rather stark exhibit by today's standards, also he was a central cage, the largest cage of the primate building, and the fact that he was alone, which I often felt sorry for, but he responded directly to the public many times by hitting the windows, slamming the doors, and of course this made people react by jumping and screaming, what have you, and this made him feel all the more powerful. These guys, these big silverbacks as they call them, they run the show and the troop, and noise is power, and that was a source of entertainment for this big animal. And people would come by the throngs and stand in front of his exhibit cage waiting for him to hit the window. And when he was good and ready, he did it. And he knew he was creating this situation. He had these people in the palm of his hands. And yet they would still seem surprised when he'd hit, but they'd keep waiting for the next time. And I think that was a big part of the attraction. Plus the fact he was larger than average, a very handsome animal. And again, in those years, there weren't that many zoos that had gorillas, so that was outstanding.
What kind of relationship did Samson and Sambo have?
Well, as I said a little bit earlier, Sambo and Samson came as young animals in 1950 to Washington Park Zoo. They were together for the first 9 years. They were roughly a year old when they came in, so they grew up together as buddies. And Sambo was the leader of the pack, so to speak. He was the more serious one, the one that more or less dominated the situation, although they got along well. Samson, again, was the clown. Once Sambo died in 1959, a month or so after they arrived at the Milwaukee County Zoo out on Blue Mound, of course, Samson was alone. He was alone for a number of years, and he made do with what he had. And people often ask, do you think he missed Sambo? I think animals, in a way, miss, but not the same way humans miss. Certainly they're aware where there were once two that there's now one, but they tend to hang in there probably better than we do, as far as not necessarily forgetting, but living without.
What do you remember about Samson's death?
Well, first of all, the day he died, I was off. I was not working that day. Believe it or not, they gave us a little time off here and there. That happened to be a day I was off. I was called from the zoo by the secretary, who was crying and crying, and I'm trying to make sense out of what she's saying because we're all caught off by complete surprise. And they said, can I come out? Well, at that time, my children were young, my wife was working, and I couldn't come out right away. I said, I'll be out when I can come out. So I must have arrived around 4:30, quarter to 5. Now, his death actually occurred probably in the neighborhood of 3:30 to quarter to 4, somewhere around there. He was two-thirds of the way through his afternoon meal. Died very theatrical, from what I was told. Fell over, grasping as if he was looking for air, grasped his chest. Took about 6 to 6.5 minutes for him to die. We were open. There were people that witnessed this. When I was able to come out, I came out, and by then he was already removed from the cage, down in the zoo hospital, laying on a slab of concrete. As I approached, I asked many questions. They answered many questions. They had questions for me, for that matter. At the same time, the media was out there, and they had many questions. I'm trying to deal with the surprise death of this animal. It was very emotional because this guy was family for me, as were the rest of the apes that I took care of. It's like dealing with a family member. So the emotional side was accepting this and trying to find out what happened. At the same time, dealing with the media. In fact, I was there till between 11:30 in the evening or at night, dealing with the public and still with my emotions. So it was very emotional. Many people said to me, oh, I remember when he died, the day I cried, and I can understand how they feel. But try to understand when you're a family member dealing with this, and I wasn't even there an hour of his death. So it was very emotional. You never get over this, but you keep going.
What is your best remembrance of Samson?
Well, you know, there is no one remembrance. You remember the life of the animal, the experiences, all of them, rolled into one, so to speak. As I may have mentioned earlier, all these animals have individual personalities, and he seemed to have an outstanding personality, to me anyway. I think being alone, he responded more to me as an individual one-on-one than when you have a group of gorillas. And nowadays, all zoos, or most zoos at any rate, keep them in social groups, in which the gorillas have each other, and they have each other's attention more than they do the keepers. It's still an individual situation, but I think when you have a one-on-one, it's even more so. And I think the fact that he was large, he was handsome, he just seemed to have all the positive qualities of a large silver male gorilla, silverback. It's hard to come up with any one thing. It's just a total experience for a number of years with a real good friend.
You mentioned that you were with Samson one-on-one. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I said previous, I had a very positive relationship with all the apes that I work with, the orangs, the gorillas, and then, of course, include Samson. But I think it was even a deeper relationship because he was a single. He was by himself. And when I was back there with him, it was me and him, him and me. I never entered the cage, and I'll explain why in a minute or so. But through the bars, we had a very positive relationship in that he'd come over, and in his guttural sort of way, he'd talk with me in gorilla language. And I, being very comfortable with him, when you work with animals, you need to be comfortable with them, because if you're afraid, if you're not comfortable, they read you. They read you like a book. And, of course, being comfortable with him, he was comfortable with me because it radiates. And because of being good pals, you might say, people often ask me, if he was that good a friend, why didn't you go in the cage? Or did you go in the cage? There were some of the gorillas and orangutans I did go in with when they were younger, for one reason or another. Some of the females I even went in with as adults. But male gorillas get very large, very powerful. They play very rough with each other. And I'm sure that these guys would play with me as they would a fellow gorilla. And humans are far too weak to take the rough treatment gorillas might give them. He could backhand me and I'd be cleaning my head off the wall. Another factor, even more so than that, is remember this animal was alone for many, many years. Having a very positive relationship with this guy, what's to prevent him from saying, now you're in with me, you don't go home, you stay with me for the rest of your life? They get very possessive. If you're a friend, they want you to be with them. Friends don't leave frequently and come and go and come and go, but in this situation, that's the way it was. I couldn't be there all the time. My family would have to come and see me through the windows every day. Hi, Daddy. Hi, husband. Because if this guy held on to me, there's no breaking a grip from these guys. So positive relationship or not, not safe to go in with a giant animal like that.
Was Samson ever sick, and how did you keep him healthy?
All of our charges at times may become injured or sick, and we have to move in on it and take care of them. And Samson did have his bout several times with sicknesses. He's never been injured, but he did come down with one thing or another. And in particular, there was a time in 1979, he was affected by a B virus flu. And normally when I treat he and other of our apes with medications, after the veterinarians came up and diagnosed the problem, we treat the animals orally. We would mix the medication, the antibiotic, whatever, in with fluids, juices, what have you, and in a cup, and the animal would retrieve from the opposite side of the bars. As I held the cup, he would drink from it. And this particular time in 1979, he wouldn't react normally to the medication because it was a strong jolt, and he could detect as I approached the back bars that this was something not very tasteful. So what I did is I mixed it in with fruit yogurt, which camouflaged it, masked it, the medication, better than it had otherwise, and literally spoon-fed him. The humorous side of this story is when he became better, or felt better, from being medicated after several days, he bit down on a spoon and took off with the spoon in his mouth, ran around the cage. Well, obviously he was feeling better, which I was very happy about, but I wanted that spoon back. Typical tablespoon. So I called to him, and he responded many times when I'd called him. I said, Sam, I want it. Bring it over. And he knew what I wanted, and he came over, and he tossed it on the floor. I said, no, I want it. Here, hand it to me through the bars. They can't understand the language, but they understand who you are, where you're coming from, your gestures, your tone of voice. He got the point. He pushed it over, picked it up and pushed it over a little closer to me, and he did this several times, and I kept insisting, pick it up and hand it to me. I think he knew what I meant, but he was reluctant till I pulled out a banana from the back pocket of my trousers, and I held it up, and he read me like a book. I said, Sam, the spoon, please. He handed me the spoon. I gave him the banana. The story was over, except I had to watch the future, because in this case, he wound out realizing that if he stole the spoon, he'd get rewarded. So I had to hang on tighter.
Sam, what does the Samson exhibit mean to you?
I find this exhibit very exciting. After Samson dying in 1981, he's been gone 25 years now. This recreation, this image that Wendy is creating, that's the Samson I remember. That's the Samson I know. It's very lifelike. The image is exact. He's not moving, but when I stare into those eyes and I look at that face, all the experiences I've had with this animal come back. And again, very exciting. I hope many people come down and feel what I do.